Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen Podcast, brought to you in association with WCRFM, which you can hear across Wolverhampton on 101.8 FM via WCRFM.com or by telling your smart speaker to play WCRFM. And now, of course, across Wolverhampton, you can hear us on DAB Digital Radio. This episode is focusing on suicide prevention and support for those who are bereaved through suicide. First of all, we'll be hearing from Phil Abbas from an organisation called Survivors of Bereavement by Suicide, or SOBS. You'll hear mention of a service that was held on Suicide Prevention Day, the 10th of September. And then we'll be hearing from Gray from Wolverhampton Samaritans about the ongoing support that's always there 24/7. First of all, though, here's Phil.
Important role that you have here, and obviously focusing on World Suicide Prevention Day, which is coming up on the 10th.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much for the invitation to come today, Chris, and talk about what we're doing in SOBS. World Suicide Prevention Day is a very, very busy time for us, although we're more based around suicide bereavement. That's what we work on. But we also know that many people who have suffered a bereavement by suicide will sadly go on to try and take their own lives. So the work that we do in suicide bereavement is also suicide prevention as well. Right. So this week leading up into the 10th of September, very, very busy for us.
And we've moved on, haven't we? Because here we've got you're going to have your event in Lichfield Cathedral, and we still see it on some of the programmes, and we know historically people who used to take their own lives, you know, they were almost condemned in death as they were in life. They weren't allowed to be buried in the churchyard, all those kind of things. So we've learnt a lot and we've moved forward, and you're pioneering that.
Yeah, and we're trying to combat the stigma that goes with a death by suicide. As you rightly say, there's always been some connotations of it being a sin and not having a full burial service and not being able to be buried in the normal part of the cemetery. Luckily, we have started to move on now. We talk about suicide on a regular basis. And just to try and to combat the stigma and also the isolation that people bereaved by suicide feel, just to try and make sure that their bereavement, is as good as it can be. It's never going to be a good thing, obviously, but we like to try and help people as much as we possibly can to try and talk about their bereavement when perhaps sometimes other people don't really want to and don't know how to actually talk about a suicide loss.
Yeah, one of the other stigmas is always, oh, taking the easy way out. I've heard that phrase as well, which is a terrible phrase too. So what are the kind of differences of people who are suffering bereavement by suicide to those who've just been bereaved by a natural death?
Yeah, the differences are very, very stark. The death often comes very suddenly for someone that actually perhaps we hear it very often that you'd never have thought that they would have took their own life, or I didn't realise there was anything going on. It's often a very violent death, unfortunately, and there are so many questions left behind when somebody takes their own life. Why didn't they come to me? Was I not enough for them? Why couldn't they talk to me? There's also always going to be an inquest when there's a death by suicide, and there's going to be some police interaction, and sometimes there's some press interaction as well, and sometimes the way that the press deal with these can be a little bit sensational, unfortunately. There are guidelines set out by Samaritans, but they are guidelines only on how a death by suicide is reported. And all of these things can deeply affect the family of the person that has taken their own life. And even just the language that we use, we try not to say the word committed. That goes back to really about 1961, when taking your own life by suicide was a crime, and if you survived, then actually you'd go to jail. But a lot of people talk about committing suicide, and it has connotations of committing a crime. And like I say, that hasn't been the case for a long, long time. And even just using that C word, that can be quite stigmatizing to a family who've lost a loved one to suicide, because they haven't committed a crime. You know, in utter desperation, they've taken their own life.
Yeah, and that's important to learn. I didn't realise that's where the root of the word was. I know that it's not used anymore. I didn't realise that was the root, and that was why it's important not to use that phraseology. But going back to what you were saying there, the questions that people ask themselves who've lost a loved one, and I have a little bit of experience this from years ago when my eldest son had one of his friends in a sports team take his own life, is the kind of guilt that is there. That there's something, you know, people feel there must be something I could have done, or I must be the kind of person that no one wants to talk to because there's something wrong with me. So therefore, helping people get over that guilt must be a key part of your role.
Yeah, absolutely. And we hold peer support groups up and down the country to try and get people just to talk about their suicide loss with other people who've experienced it. Because a suicide death is so unique, really, it's important that people are able to join together with others who have also been bereaved by suicide. Someone who suffered a suicide bereavement very often won't talk about it for fear of traumatizing their friends and family. And, you know, that just isolates them even more. So we provide a nice, safe, confidential space where they can talk about their suicide loss with people who understand where they're coming from. You know, everybody that comes along to the meetings has been bereaved by suicide. And a vast majority of our volunteers have been bereaved as well. And to be a facilitator with us, you must have been bereaved by suicide. So that gives people almost permission to talk about their loved one. And it's not all tears. You know, sometimes there's joy and laughter as well. You know, and we celebrate people's lives. And that's really what the memorial service at Lichfield Cathedral is designed to do. That's designed to celebrate the lives of those people that we've lost.
And from a statistical point of view, we know that men are more likely to take their own lives than women are. Does that then impact on those who survive, that actually there are more women who survivors of people who've taken their own lives than men? Or is that just a sort of a wrong way of looking at the data that we have?
No, you're absolutely right. 75% of suicides are male, and a vast majority are in middle age. It's one of the biggest killers of middle-aged men. But we also find a lot of the men that take their own life are in same-sex relationships, so they leave behind another man. And that can be very difficult, isolating enough, you know, for people who are part of the LGBTQ plus community. But to also suffer a suicide bereavement is even more isolating. But we do cater as much as we can for everybody. And we have a men's only group that men can come along to and talk about their suicide loss, because that can be quite difficult for them. But, you know, a lot of middle-aged men are married and with children. And so it does leave a lot of families behind. And it's we find that a vast majority of the attendees at our groups are ladies. And probably 75% of our facilitators are ladies, because of this shocking statistic that, you know, most suicides are men.
It is something that we encounter, and you know, I've said it before, as Samaritans we have the whole wealth of human experience on the other end of that line, but regularly we do have people that have been affected by suicide that are themselves close to the edge.
Yeah.
And it is an honour to be able to be there to listen and to support, and you know, hopefully explore options and give that support and help that may sway somebody in the opposite direction. But yeah, we have a lot of phone calls that
and
way.
And I love that phrase there. You have the whole spectrum of humankind, you know, who, and that's good to hear, because it means that if people are feeling down, suicidal, they're not weird.
Nope.
They are just a human being, and therefore, you know, don't think bad of themselves. Get on that phone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're a human being that has human being feelings, and that is completely normal, and it's okay. And the beauty of Samaritans is you don't have to be suicidal to phone the Samaritans. We would rather you phone us when you're not feeling great and need somebody to listen to than just phoning us to say goodbye. We would rather be there to support and listen,
yeah,
and help fewer people die by suicide.
Now, one of the things that Phil shared with me was this number of people who were affected by a suicide. He said on average 147 people touched by the death of by suicide. Mm. And then out of that, 6% are likely to attempt suicide themselves, and that's 8 or 9 people, you know, for every suicide of the knock-on effect.
Yeah, it does, and the touch is quite far and wide, because I think we forget how many people love us and how many people care for us, and when you're feeling so low, you can't think more than what you're feeling, and that's okay in that moment. That's fine. And that's what the Samaritans are there, pick up the phone and share how you're feeling so that we can explore things and hopefully reduce that number.
And this though flags up, though, a particularly vulnerable group, doesn't it?
It does. The men that are aged between 50 and 54, that's our most vulnerable group. And we do encourage people to talk, reach out, check in on your mates, you know. That's the age group that is our most vulnerable.
How can we get men to pick up the phone more, hey, and talk about issues rather than just bottling it all up inside? You know, I probably feel a bit of guilt as well. And I've bottled stuff up in the past. It's very easy to do, and rather than share it. Whereas women are much more gregarious and they do chat about things. They get, you know, get a bit of fun made of them because of that. But actually, it's great for their health. How can we make men pick up the phone more?
Oh, I wish that I could wave a magic wand and make that happen. I can say that we are, well, I'm not a man, but like, men are getting better at picking up the phone. Men are getting better at talking. It could be just quite as simple as you're watching the Wolves play and you're sat next to your friend and kind of they're not cheering as loud as normal, and you can say, oh, you're not cheering as loud as normal, is everything okay? It's okay to ask your friends if they're okay. I think it starts slowly over a cup of tea, over a pint at the pub, and then it builds from there, I think.
And you've said before about asking those tough questions.
Oh yeah, those tough questions really aren't tough questions once you have them come out of your mouth. And it's okay to ask people how they're feeling. It's okay to say, what do you mean by you don't want to be here? It's okay. It's not going to make somebody commit suicide, take their life by suicide. It's going to show them that you care enough that you've noticed a change and that you want to be there for them. Ask those tough questions.
And perhaps if you notice that difference in a group situation, you just bide your time until you can chat to them on their own.
Yeah.
But it's being brave enough is one of the best things you can do.
Absolutely.
for your friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's massive vulnerability there. Those numbers really hit me there. And are there signs that you can notice? What's in my head is often, no, there aren't, you know, for those who sadly do take their own lives. And those who say they're going to, often that's a cry for help rather than a threat. But it's people who are really quiet that you just don't pick it up.
It's difficult because a lot of the time there are no signs. It somebody's holding it in. They don't want to burden people. But then when somebody has made up their mind, if they've been quite low, quite down, often they'll feel a sense of relief and all of a sudden have bursts of happiness and be kind of very carefree. Sometimes they will start giving away their possessions and start saying, if I ever am gone, like, I'd like you to have this. And it's not always the case, but those are the times to start thinking about asking tough questions.
So some planning is going on in people's thinking.
Yeah, there is often those kind of little things that if you do know to look for can be very helpful. But a lot of the time they're done with such nuance that you wouldn't pick them up, and that's okay.
Yeah, indeed. And whatever you do, don't feel guilty about this, because one of the most difficult things in the world to spot and to know.
No, there's not. And it's not your fault. And there's nothing that you could have specifically done. We just encourage people to just ask the difficult questions and try to explore options and get help as soon as possible. But if somebody in your life has taken their life by suicide, it's not your fault and you did nothing wrong, and there's nothing that would have changed if they've made that decision. Unfortunately, they've made that decision.
Yeah, it goes back a little bit personally for me, because my eldest son was played a lot of sport, and somebody in his sports team took his own life, and it's a big team sport, and everybody thought, well, there must have been something we could have seen. And so therefore it did impact on a whole group really of people as well. It can easily do that. And that comes back to that number of people who are touched by a death by suicide as well.
It goes quite far. And as human beings, we touch a lot of people's lives, and we leave an impact and an impression in everybody's path that we cross. And so it is something that when somebody does die by suicide, leaves a lasting mark.
So Suicide Prevention Day next Sunday, but it's something we want to be on the ball about all the time. What are the kind of things that we can do, what are the kind of things?
So we're encouraging people to spend time with friends, family, have that cup of tea, find out how things are going, reach out and just be present in people's lives that you care for. If maybe you've lost touch with somebody, now's a good time to pick up the phone, send a text message and say, I know that we haven't spoken for a while, just wanted to check in and see how you're doing, and just talk and listen and be together.
And if people go quiet on social media, is that a change of behaviour that would worry you, or is it just they got fed up with social media?
This is where the nuances come in. It depends on the person, and it can be, if that person is always active all of the time, it can be. But we all like a little break from social media every now and then to kind of get outside and be...
Have a life.
Yeah. Yes. So it could just be that they're kind of working on themselves and going out of their comfort zone and doing something different. But if you do notice a change in somebody that you think, that's not what they would normally do, go and ask that tough question. Go and say, I've noticed this change. How come these things have changed? And have an open conversation and just let them know that you care and that you're there for them. Yeah.
Tough questions. That's the most important thing. Now, if people need support from Samaritans, remind people how they can get that. And also perhaps people are listening who might be interested in becoming one of you, to support others. What can people do?
Well, if you'd like to volunteer for the Samaritans, if you head over to the Samaritans website, there is a page on our website there you can register, and somebody will get in touch with you and start your journey to your training to become one of us lovely volunteers. But if you're struggling and you need somebody to listen to you, you can pick up the phone for free. Doesn't even show up on your phone bill. 116 123, and somebody will be there for you 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if you don't feel like you can talk, we do email as well, which is joe@samaritans.org. And we also have online chat available. If you head over to the website, you can find more on the online chat as well.
That was Gray from Wolverhampton Samaritans, and www.samaritans.org is the place you can find out all about the organisation. And perhaps if you want to be a trainer, as a volunteer with them, that's the place to go to as well. Before that, we heard from Phil Abbis from SOBS, as Survivors of Bereavement by Suicide. You can find out more information from there by going to UKSOBS, that's all one word, .org. Also, you can go to the Zero Suicide Alliance to get some help as well if needed. And that's www.zerosuicidealliance.com. And that's it for this episode. I look forward to you joining me next time on the Chris Allen Podcast. If you have any news or stories, you can email me via chris@wcifm.com.